Well, the day has approached and the day has come. Turn to your Bibles in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. For 6 weeks or so, we've been on our way. We've been a journey into Hebrews or toward Hebrews through the Psalms. And as you're turning, aren't we blessed to have such wonderful musicians and artists that can actually just bring us before the Lord? Praise the Lord for you guys. Thank you guys. As unto the Lord. If you need a bulletin today, today's a good bulletin day. So if you need one, raise your hand. The ushers will bring you one. I see a hand here in the middle. There's a couple here. Because you want to take the notes here, we got a couple down front. And a couple here in the middle there. And then I see some over here. Over here. All right. The letter of the day is W. Did anybody figure that out? W. We get in the bad habit of actually saying dubs. And in sports, my kids played sports, so you either get the dubs or you don't, right? The dubs. B-dubs, the Wild Wings, B-Ws. Anyway, that's too much information for Sunday morning. Thank you, fellas. Well, listen, today in the Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to dive in, and guess what we're going to do? We're going to be there, and then we're going to look back to Psalms. Right? Why? Because God has something to say, and when God speaks, listen, if he says it one time, it's really important because God says it. If he says it two times, listen, he's trying to get our attention saying it's really important, right? But if he says it more than two times, three or four times, do you think God's got something for us to hear? The answer is yes. Y'all ever done that with your parents? This generation, you hear parents talk to their kids over, honey, honey, don't do it, honey, 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 get out of the whiskey road, you can't play, honey, you can't take on a diesel truck, honey, 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 right? It's terrible. This friendship parenting today is killing our society. It's awful. Everybody wants to be their kid's friend. And I told my kids a long time ago, I'm not your BFF, I'm your father. I rank so much higher than a stinking friend, because a friend will leave you in tough times. A friend will get there, he'll be with you, she'll be with you, and then I'll sit closer than a brother, is what the Bible says. And then when it comes to blood issues, guess what they're going to do? That blood's going to get awful thin, and they're going to cut and run, all right? Now, there might be that friend that sticks. Who knows? Jesus was that friend, but your daddy, your mama, is somebody who should be with you all the times. They're not your, you know, when you get to be a certain age, when you meet that someone, that special someone, you should have a breaking up service. Not a divorce, but a breaking up service. You said, Mom, Dad, we are now separating for life, right? You are moving into a counselor role. Parents move into a different role. But listen, Mom and Dad, you still want to date your kid when they're married to someone else. Mamas especially. It's awful quiet in here, right? Hush, right? You got to let them go. The Bible says you're to leave father and mother and to do what? Leave and cleave, hold on to, and start anew. You still have that opportunity to speak into their lives, but you're in a different role now. It's a different position. You're not directly in their lives because they are now adults, and that's what actually God put us on the planet for, right? We're not raising dogs so they'll bark. We're actually training up children in the way they should go, and when they're old, we're going to let the Lord do his work that they won't depart from that. So just understand our roles. And today, why do I bring that up? Because in our society, we've got everything crisscrossed applesauce messed up. We think about angels. We talked about this morning, Catalyst and Bible study. By the way, you are invited to a Catalyst. There's one for you every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We'd like for you to be there. If you have opportunity, show up and get into the Word of God. Ask questions. Go one-on-one with everyone and bounce things around. But this morning, my sermon title, of course, is Angels, Jesus, and the Voice of God. I'm going to talk about angels about this much. And Jesus about this much. And the voice of God is Jesus, so we're going to actually see that God is speaking. I want to cover something before we do that, before I ask the next question is, I went and got three coffee cups, that's why I left out. And if you're not careful, this is how you'll see God. And the Muslims will say, oh, you Christians, y'all worship three gods. What, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And if you're not careful and you don't know what you believe, you'll say, well, that makes sense to me, that we serve three. But Jesus said, I and the Father are one. When we're to baptize, we're to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So do we baptize in three names? Or are we doing it for three different gods, or are we doing it for one God? Well, we're going to see in today's sermon, Jesus is going to look back and he's going to say, I and the Father are one. Philip, don't you know me? Lord, just show us the Father, that's enough. Just give us a peekaboo to the Father, right? Jesus has told him he's leaving. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Wait a minute. That sounds like they're one. But yet they have three distinct personalities. God the Father, obviously, who the agent of creation. Who was it? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Answer is yes, but in the hands of creation was Jesus. We read that this morning. Mike read that in Colossians chapter 1. We read back in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John 1 says, everything that was created by Jesus. So did Jesus create in Genesis 1:1? Yes. All right. Did anybody know that when you were growing up? I didn't know that when I was growing up, that Jesus was a creator. It was always Jesus over here. And even in America, we say we get our inalienable rights from whom? Who do we say? We get our inalienable rights from who? Jesus. If Jesus is the creator, can you take even our own documents in America and say we get our rights from where? Come on, y'all getting so slow. This first grade's got this. Where do we get our rights from? Jesus. Do we get them from the Father? Yes. Do we get them from the Spirit? Yes, but even our founding fathers recognized, did they know what I just told you about Jesus being the creator? Did they know John 1, that Jesus is the creator? Did they know that? So when we go back and actually look, we actually understand that Jesus has this high priority position in life. And if you're not careful, you'll say God the Father, and somewhere down the line, God the Son, and somewhere down the line, God the Holy Spirit. And you'll always rank them in your mind as three separate entities. And so when someone tries to engage you with conversation about God, you're not even sure yourself. Well, he's kind of like an egg. He's the shell, he's a yolk, and he's the white. That's a terrible example. He's like a pretzel. He's all twisted up. There's three different parts to him. Or he's water. He's liquid. He's a vapor. He's a solid. There's nothing on earth, not even these three stinking cups, that compare to the Godhead. There's nothing on earth. There's no example you can use that would compare to the Godhead. But I want you to understand, just as the Bible says in Deuteronomy that God is one, know this, that God is one, we still believe that God is one. Did you know that Jesus believed that God is one? Did you know even not that we become gods, but we actually become one with the Father through a relationship with the Son? John 17, you need to spend some time reading your Bible. Could there be a higher way of living if you know how to live it? Yes or no? Day by day, are you different this year in 2025, June 2025? Are you different in June 2025 than you were in June 2024? Are you still just coasting along going, everything's good? Show up at church. I got about 45 of my 52s in. I got the special occasions, and I showed up, and I'm good with God. When God says, be holy as I'm holy, does he mean that? Now, we posed this to our senior adults this Thursday, had a little conflict, then with seniors. And I'm going to pose it to my college and career class this morning. Had a little conflict, so I'm just going to go ahead and throw it out there and put it out to the church. All right, y'all ready? And I want your feedback. We're going to participate. Don't look at your neighbors. Vote your gut. All right, here's your vote. Can you possibly go 24 hours without sinning? All right, raise your hand if you think the answer is yes. All right, put your hands up. Raise your hands if you say the answer is no. All right, so the answer is, if God says, be holy as I am holy, can you be holy? How long? Is it a minute? Well, you don't get perfection, so we already know. Let's knock that out. You can't go life. Perfection is knocked out, so that's not even, that's when we get to heaven, right? But can we live here? And I got the question. I told the seniors, I didn't originate the question. Charles Stanley posed that question to his congregation a long time ago. I was watching, I'm going, I just hit pause. I'm like, I've never processed, can I go 24 hours without sinning? So then I started thinking, well, I know my thoughts. Well, then the scripture come to my thoughts, take every thought captive. And I can't say what I said this morning because Wendy forbade me from saying how to kill an animal this morning. But if you catch an animal in a cage, can you kill it? Yes, that's how pest control taught me how to kill some of the animals that used to live here. All right? Once you catch an animal in a cage, you can kill it. So when the Bible says take every thought captive, can you do that? If it's a command to do it, can you do it? Yes. Because you can't do it, but who does it for you? The Holy Spirit in you, right? So the Holy Spirit, remember, our Christian walk is not my walk. It's Christ in me, through me, day by day, around me and in me. So as I walk lockstep with God, can I get closer to God each day? Yeah, I can do it by Bible study, by prayers. I can actually, obviously, in giving, everything that God puts out before us in the Bible, If you say, I've never done that before, I'd like to try that. Guess what God does every time you step toward obeying his word? It brings him pleasure. It brings him, listen to the point, he says he's given everyone a measure of faith. And when you obey him and you step, when he says step, guess what he does? He says he gives you even greater faith. You ever seen somebody that says, man, I wish I could be like them. They love the Lord Jesus Christ. This person, every time I see them, they always encourage me. They're serving others in Jesus' name. That person is a role model. This person might be an older person. Usually it's older folks because they lived a lot of life and they've had some rough goes, and Jesus had to see them through. He stood fast, right, with them. Well, Hebrews, I want you to see this morning as we're looking at Scripture. Can you go a 24-hour period? Everybody's waiting for me to answer so the no's can be mad at me and the yes can be a, yeah, we won, right? Or vice versa. The answer is, how long can you go? Can you go 24 minutes without sinning? If Christ commands us to be holy in 1 Peter without, hey, be holy as I am holy, says the Lord. It's an Old Testament command brought over to the New Testament. Can we do it if he says you must do it? Be holy as I'm holy. Well, we look in the mirror and we look at ourselves and go, I know what this week, what I did this past week. Well, can I do it for a minute? Can you be holy for a minute? Come on, y'all, feedback. Y'all, I'm not setting you up, I promise. I'm not setting you up. I'm working through this as well as a Christian. Can you be holy without, now you're made without sin. Christ died for all sins, past, present, future, right? That's already done. That's not what I'm asking. Can you state your name, go 1 minute, 60 seconds without sin? Okay, you can. Has any of you practiced going to a retreat, getting away by yourself, ditch your phone, ditch all your worries, and go to a mountaintop and confess to the Lord and sit before him? There's a great place on a bald rock up in the mountains that I used to love and go and get up there and just me and God. I'd get way down where the campers couldn't get to me or hikers couldn't get to me and God. And when you pray, what happens? And somebody's going to come after me at church. Listen, don't bother coming after church and tell me. I don't care. Because when you bow your head, and you get before, even if you bow your knee and you're like, I want to be so spiritual with God, have you ever had conflicting thoughts that come in your mind like, oh, where did that come from? That's so evil. That I can't believe that's in my mind. I want you to understand it happens. It happens to me. And like, Lord, what in the world? I was just trying to focus on you. That's when the Lord equips you to take that thought captive. It's not sin to be tempted. Temptation is not sin. Jesus was tempted. Understand? But when you act upon that sin, or when you double dip into that thought, that's when you actually have engaged in that sin. That's where we fail. It's usually 90% of our failure happens between the ears. Is that not true? Or in the eye gate, or sometimes in the mouth as well, right? Because what we eat, do I need that second piece of pie? I told you when I go to Edisto, I buy a huge key lime pie at the King's Market, and I eat all of it if I can. My daughter-in-law is pretty good about catching me with it. Hannah likes it. No one else in the family likes it. We love that no one else in the family likes this pie. It's a beautiful thing. Every time you open the refrigerator, you have a piece waiting for you because no one else likes it. Everybody wants to try it every year. Let me try that. Oh, I don't like that. We think it's a wonderful thing that no one likes it. Here's what I want you to understand. Should I have that second piece of pie after I just had the first one? No. It's 2 weeks later, and I'm still talking about the pie, right? It's gone. I want you to look, as we look into the Word of God today, as we read this, I want you to set aside, if you're not careful, you ever have presets in your mind of what angels are like. You have a preset in your mind of Jesus, and just kind of somewhere down here in the Godhead, and you have this idea of what God says. Well, that's Old Testament, right? We're going to see, and there's over 600 commands, as you know, as you should know from Scripture. We've said that before. So let's read together Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to read it in pieces, and then we're going to have a conversation. Hebrews 1:1. How does your Bible start? God, who at various times, or many times, or in various ways, or your Bible might say many ways, spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us, how? By his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down where? At the right hand of the majesty on high. That's heaven. Having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Wait a minute, now we got some conflict. And by the way, I want you to understand, this is going to mess you up, and I don't want to hear about it after church either, because you got to understand something about God. God the Father is what? Spirit. John 4:24, God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth, all right? So, I don't want to mess you up your childhood theology, but God is not sitting up on a huge throne like this, like he's sitting on a Harley watching everything going on in Earth and Jupiter. And Jesus is not sitting there like, Father, is it time? Right? That's not happening. If you're not careful with your picture books and all the things, you'll have God sitting on the throne. He's not limited by anything, not a concrete throne, not a pearl throne, not a whatever pretty you would think, not a gold throne. He's not sitting there ruling and reigning from a place. God hadn't been sitting on his behind for the last few thousand years, just watching. He's not a king doing this. Where is God? We say he's omnipresent, so this is going to scramble our brains a little bit. God's everywhere all the time. God knows everything, so he's not just in heaven. That picture is sitting at the right hand of majesty tells you that, listen, Jesus ascended back to heaven. Jesus has a glorified body, but he's actively at work, is he not? He's engaged. The Father is everywhere all the time. The Spirit, the Bible says, if we have received the Lord Jesus Christ, we have received the Holy Spirit in us and around us, never to leave us nor forsake us. It's the Spirit of Christ that seals us until the day of redemption. So God's not just inactive up in heaven, just, they've already dropped the bombs on Iran, so we got to hurry up and we're going to, right? Did anybody start thinking that? If you're not careful, you'll let world events tell you Scripture. Everybody's wondering, is it the end times? Well, I hope it is. But did you know it was the end times when Jesus was walking the earth? The kingdom had come, right? How do we pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We see the authority, the majesty where God dwells, his dwelling place. That's where you and I are going. All right, let's continue. I want you to see that. But God's not up there just like you're sitting today. He's not just sitting there waiting on you and waiting on time to pass. And by the way, current events, listen, I hope you don't get excited about us dropping bombs on Iran, because Iran, that's some of the judgment that's happening from God. But listen, America's got a lot of judgment rolling our way, do we not? We're living it right now with abortion and homosexuality and all the mess that's coming our way. Listen, we're being judged day by day. Those bombs are being dropped on you when you go to work. They're being dropped on you when you pull up your social media. Those bombs, and you don't even see those coming. The big ones, you can see the damage. But you can't see the damage that Satan is doing in your life until your kids are grown, until the next generation switches. You can't see it until it's actually right in your face and you have regret. When you're looking back, that's usually, we have a saying for it, hindsight is 20/20. We can see perfectly that way. We can't see perfectly now. But if we live it God's way, we do things God's way. Listen, parents, children, senior adults, if we do it God's way, what will we always get? God's results 100% of the time. So the question is, why aren't we doing it God's way? If he is who he says he is. Let's continue. I want to read verses, pick up at verse 5. And by the way, verse 4, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Who created the angels? Specifically, Jesus created the angels, so how did he actually get a name, given a name that's greater than the angels? It sounds like he's less than the angels. More to come. Stay tuned. All right, let's go. Verse 5. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Question mark. Answer, church. Never. That's from Psalm 2. Remember we preached through Psalm 2? That's a quote from Psalm 2. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When did he ever say that? He's never said that. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God, that's his property, all the angels of God worship him. And the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? Who does that? He does. Exactly right. You can make it read Psalm 97. That's where we got that from. But, verse 8, but to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Well, who's he talking about there again? Jesus, Psalm 45. Let's continue. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth. Who's he talking about? Well, now we got a problem because your Bible should have a capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Is Jesus God? Now we got some trouble, right? Because our theology, we just believe we keep separating them. Wait a minute. Is God having the writer of Hebrews talk about Jesus Christ in such a way that actually he's talking about him as God? I don't want to scramble your eggs. Did you follow that? Is the writer talking about Jesus? Yes, and he's quoting the Psalms. Listen, he's going back. You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. Psalm 102. And there's a question. What of the angels did he ever say, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Psalm 110. The answer is none. And finally, he says this, are they not all ministering spirits set forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Can an angel inherit salvation? No, an angel cannot die. Therefore, an angel cannot, Jesus can't die for the angels so that they can be born again. They are eternal beings, so they can't die. If they chose to sin back in the day when there was that opportunity, those angels we call today demons, right? We call them spirits or demons, principalities. We have different names. The Bible has different names for them. But the angels of God, we call them holy angels. When we refer and we see angels, remember, angels come in different shapes and sizes, and they come in different appearances, or we should say creatures do, because we kind of lump everything into angels, do we not? Seraphim, we talked about this morning, have six wings, two, two, and two. We call them angels. Technically, they're creatures, angelic beings or types, messengers. So I always remember seraphim, S, spelled with S. They have S, six wings. That's how I always remembered it when I became a Christian. Cherubs have four wings, or cherubim have four wings. So, and we look, and the men who walked the earth had no wings. Everything, if you look on the computer, has angels with this massive wingspan. He's usually got an LED light on his head because it's the first headlamp, halo, right? In our picture Bibles, if you're not careful, every angel, every picture of Jesus, he's got a golden plate behind his head. I know the artists were trying to show holiness or righteousness in the picture, but angels don't wear those things around. Every time an angel has appeared in Scripture, it's been a man who has engaged with the righteous man of God or has brought judgment on mankind. Now, there are, I told you this before, you can look it up, chonk through all of our angels away back in the day. Look at Zechariah chapter 5, you don't do it today, but it mentions two women with wings like a stork, and they pick up sinful baskets shoved in a sinful basket, take it to the sinful place, and the angels are spoken of, we call them angels, of women with wings like a stork. How many of you guys grew up with that on your Christmas tree? We did. Pauline's like on that crazy woman was up there all the time looking at us. Remember her? Plug her in, she'd light up. I'm like, woo, it was crazy. How many of y'all had to raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about? All right, yeah. Plates. There was movies, Touched by an Angel, the most unbiblical way of looking at angels. You look at actually any shows, even, don't throw rocks, please. What's the latest one that just came out? The newest film of Jesus, the movie of, not The Chosen. Be careful with The Chosen. The Chosen is Hollywood's version of the Bible. I know some of it makes you feel warm, and y'all love that Jesus more than you love the Jesus of the Bible. But listen, that's not Jesus. That man's he's a Roman Catholic. They're selling prayers now. You can pray with them. There's a homosexual on stage. The main cinematographer is a homosexual. There's a lot of things that's not right with The Chosen. I'm sorry to break your bubble at Town Creek Baptist Church, but go and take Scripture and match what Scripture says. Make sure you don't get what Hollywood says about Jesus. Don't get what the Muslims say about Jesus, all right? Don't get what, even some of your friends that are in other religions, don't get what they say about Jesus. Take the Bible, the authority. Listen, there's a word we preached it some time ago, the sufficiency of Scripture. This is enough. You don't need Hollywood. You don't need a friend. You don't need anything else. You need Christ. It's not Jesus plus plus. It's Jesus. And there's the sufficiency of Christ, which we'll talk about in another day as well. We'll go through, and I already covered the first paragraph. I want you to see in your notes. Throughout history, humans have often held unbiblical or worldly views of angels. And you probably have, if we could sit down and have a legitimate conversation, I guarantee you got some bad, juju about angels. You think they're powerful. You pray to them. Our Catholic friends have, in their extra Bibles, they actually have another angel. They have Gabriel. They have Michael. And I almost said Leonardo. It's Raphael. Raphael, the Ninja Turtles. We have the Ninja Turtle Guard Ninjas. Raphael. It's created in their extra passages. And they've also made him a saint. An angel can't be a saint. A saint has to be a human. And by the way, if you've given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you're a saint. Saint has the root of set apart. You're set apart. That's where it comes from. You don't have to die and crawl on your belly and feed 5,000 people your last meal to be a saint, to become a saint. The church, we can't have a council here at Town Creek and make you a saint and tell everybody to pray to that person. Jesus makes you a saint when you give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are set apart at that point, and he says, now live for me. That's why he tells us in Matthew 7, you'll know them how? By their fruits. You roll through Johnson, South Carolina, you'll see the little pink blossoms come out, and you go, our kid just said, Dad, what kind of tree is that? I said, you'll see in just a little short time, right? You ride through Johnson right now, and you see those trees, same trees, no blooms. What are you going to find on them? How did y'all know what I was talking about? You could tell it by the fruit. You go to Florida right now, what are you going to be cruising by? Look at all those apple orchards down there in that cool weather. I saw your head shaking like that. It's oranges. You're going to see oranges, right? You're going to see an orange grove. You're going to see those things. You know the tree by the fruit. Even if you never were out in the country, if you never planted a tree, by the time the fruit comes about, you know what kind of tree that is. Is that true? It's what Jesus says about you and me. You're known by your fruits. Beware of false prophets. It's a doom and gloom when Jesus preached Matthew 7. It's a scary passage when he talks about the narrow way of living and the broad way of living. Go read it for yourself and see which road and which path you're on. Well, we have, unfortunately, and if you have it on back of your car, I'm going to ask you today, as a friend, not as pastor, not a command, if your mother, grandmother, somebody else died, please don't put a sticker on your car that says, heaven's got another angel today. Humans are humans, and you'll see that we have a distinct nature separate from angels. You don't turn into angels. Your baby, we had a miscarriage, we lost our first child, that baby did not turn into an angel in heaven. We are humans. We were made in the image of God. We're image bearers of God. And when we give our hearts and life to Christ, we're the ambassadors of reconciliation, image bearers of Christ. Why do we spend the money to send teams to Thailand? Why do we even put on a camp? It's not for fun. It's hard, stinking work. Why do they go to Tennessee and build a deck for an older couple? It's not so that we can actually say we did something and we successfully did something. It's because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe there's a real heaven that we will spend eternity with if we give our heart and life to Jesus Christ. We believe there's a real hell that people are going to go to if they don't know Jesus Christ. We must do what we can do to get the word of God out, so watch God do his work so that some people might be saved. We must be the, here's a word, angels of God. Not that we become angels. But an angel is a simple, did you see it? They're messengers of God. Are we not messengers of God? Sometimes in Revelation, if you see the angels, to the seven angels, it's to the messengers or to the pastors of those churches. So that's another day when we preach to that. Be careful that we don't cross up that we are angels. Even though you have an Old Testament, if you have a New King James or New King James, it talks about the angels to the seven angels in the churches. It's talking about to the pastors. A pastor is responsible for getting the message of Christ out. The minister of God is who we're called to be. Well, listen, unlike God, angels are not all-knowing or all-powerful. They are not to be worshipped. All glory and honor belong to Jesus, our King. Is that true or not? Amen? Listen, don't worship an angel. If you got a sticker on the back of your car that says, heaven got another angel today, take it off. The Southern Gospel songs, grandma's up in heaven singing in the angelic choir. No, listen, here's the deal. When you get to heaven, nobody's singing right now. There's praise to God going on. Nobody has a body in heaven except Jesus. If somebody says they died and they hugged Papa and came back, Papa ain't got no arms. I know that's not, I know we've lost, we have all lost somebody. But I'm telling you, you don't have your body until when? We talked about 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, until the Lord raptures the church up. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Those of us that remain, then we'll join with them in the sky, and we actually will join together, get our new created bodies, our new spiritual bodies, our new physical bodies, our new heavenly bodies, however you want to say it. We have a body like Christ. And we said there might be some options. Elijah might still have a body. I don't know what he's doing up there. And Enoch, maybe. He was just taken. We don't know. But you know, nobody's hugging and kissing mamas. So don't read their books. You will be known as you're known. You die today, someone that you loved, and someone that you didn't even know, every tribe, every nation, every tongue, guess what you're going to do? You're going to be able to communicate with them. You say, well, how does that work? I don't know. But we do it here on earth, do we not? Because I'm preaching right now in love. I'm not mad at anybody, but some of y'all are like this at me. Let's go. All right, listen, I don't want you to go, but listen, I want you to hear the truth so that you can actually hear what God says about angels. Now, let's get into the good part. God, look at your notes. God has always communicated with his people. Would you agree or not? Remember, he walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. Did they physically see him? Well, we don't know 100%, right? Because back in that day, God, there's these things called theophanies, the appearance of God. And then when Jesus himself came, it was a Christophany. So it could have been Jesus walking in the garden with them, or it could have been his presence. We don't know. We're not 100% sure, but he walked with them in the garden. Like today, when you take a walk, if you take a time to get along with Jesus, is he with you? He said, I'll never leave you. I'm with you. To be with you how long? To the end of the age. He's in me and around me, and I'm walking. Not Jesus himself, but the Spirit of God. So wherever I go, I take the Spirit of Christ with me. He's with me. Does he talk with me? Have you ever talked to God out loud when you're by yourself? You look like a total lunatic. Somebody else sees you, you ever seen somebody praying? Anybody rock when they pray? I think of Hannah when I pray sometimes. When Eli said, get up, woman. What are you doing here at this place of worship? You can't be drunk hanging out here. I haven't had anything to drink. She even says, I haven't even drank any beer, is what she says. Look at it. It's pretty cool. I haven't drank anything. My heart is just so heavy. I'm pouring out before God. He says, get up. I'm sorry. He makes a pastor's apology. And then he says, whatever you're praying for, God's going to do. And he did. Isn't that pretty amazing? So when you pray, it looks silly. Have you ever prayed in your car? Traffic light, you ever had a song that was just a praise song? You punch the moonroof or the ceiling, like, boom, boom, Lord, and you look over and somebody's like, right? We care what other people think sometimes when we see. Let's go. God has always communicated with his people. He spoke at the beginning of time, and that's time for us. He has no beginning of time. Just put that down. And he continues to speak today. In the Old Testament, he revealed his will to the ancient fathers through the prophets using many different means, including dreams, visions, and circumstances. But primarily, he spoke through the prophets' messages, the word. The prophet is just Old Testament preacher is what he did. God the man the people, right? I told you that. When the people had to confess, it was people to priests, priests to God. Today, the Bible says we are wide open. Jesus Christ is our high priest. We'll study this as we get through Hebrews. Don't mess out. If you miss a Sunday, read ahead. Listen, Jesus is our high priest. I don't have to come to the church. I don't have to go to any special place. I can actually kneel my heart right where I am in traffic, wherever I might be. Pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, pray. He is our high priest on the throne. He has made a way for us to talk directly to the Father. But it's through Jesus. On the way there, it's through Jesus to the Father. That's why he said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, you're praying to him through me. And the Holy Spirit says, I'll fix it. You mess this prayer up. Sometimes you could just cry. You don't even know what to say. The Lord says, I got you. This is what she meant. This is what he meant. And then we walk through life going, Lord, did you hear my prayers? Does he hear your prayers if you belong to him? You ever hear your kids? We were at the beach, and when just Wendy and I were in the house with the grandkids, and they went to bed, it's quiet. But when mom and dad got there, Mom! 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 Y'all ever do that? Your kids ever do that to you? I'm like, hey, they didn't do that when y'all were not here, right? They've trained mom and dad how to respond. But guess what happens out of love? What do you need? Because there could be something going on, right? Or it's probably just he's looking at me. right? She's looking at me or smelling my feet or whatever. There's something going on. Don't you love interacting with your kids on the good days when you're like, they're just so funny and so sweet. Parents love to hear their kids' voices. Even when you get older, even when you disagree sometimes, we still love to hear that voice because they are our flesh and blood, or they are adopted into our family. They're part of us. They carry our name. I want you to see this. The prophet spoke. In the New Testament, God chose a new and greater way to speak to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, is God's final and most important message. The Word made flesh, the very Creator himself. That's from Genesis 1, from John 1, and as Mike read this morning, from Colossians 1. God starts it out that actually there's a greater way. This is the final way. This was his plan for all times. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory, the Bible says, and the exact imprint of his nature, or your Bible might say the exact expression. We say, well, what does that even mean? I think it's helpful that we have these knuckleheads back in the Bible. Aren't you glad that you have these hard-headed men in the Bible? Sometimes there's some ladies in there like Martha. Lord, tell Mary to help me, right? There's some knucklehead women in the Bible as well. But I want you to turn your Bible, if you could, and if we had to finish here, I'd like to finish here, John 14. I want you to look, and I know it's on the next scripture, next note in your Bible. Turn to John 14. Jesus had just told his disciples that he's leaving them, and they've given up everything. They're like, Lord, come on now. You're going to die? You're leaving us? We gave up our businesses. We gave everything over to Dad. Dad's probably hired new people now, and now you're leaving us? And here's what he says. John 14, and when you're there, say amen. Verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in who? In me. He's talking about himself. It should be red-lettered if you have a red-letter Bible. In my Father's house are many mansions or many places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Here's a quick note. That was current. Are these followers of Christ in heaven with him now? Yeah, right. At least 11 of them are there. Are they not? They're actually living out what he promised them in the present. They're walked it out now in the future. You ever think about that in Scripture? Is this a promise from God for now? Was it a promise in the past, or is it a promise in the future? And oftentimes it's yes, it is, it is. Let's continue. Verse 4, and where I go, you know the way. Here's Thomas. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, this is a beautiful scripture, underline it, mark it in your Bible, highlight it. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody, put your name right there, no one, Clint Smith, cannot come to the Father except through me. Jesus is all those ways. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Friend, can I tell you this morning, if you've never given your heart life to Jesus Christ, you are never going to heaven. You can't. You're not just going to be good enough, give enough. You can't do it until you surrender. Surrender means not coming back. You surrender your life to him fully and say, Lord, here's my life. Would you save my soul? What's your soul worth to God? The life of his Son, the very treasure of heaven. It's worth, obviously, the love that he can invest in us because we were his creation. He wants you to become an image bearer, an ambassador of Christ. That's what it's worth to God. But we would rather play church. We'd okay singing songs, and we're okay praying prayers, but to walk it out and to live it out, well, the Bible calls us to walk worthy of the calling which God has put on us. If heaven's going to invest, if God's going to invest that much in me, how should I walk out my life after he saved my sorry soul? Y'all know somebody's done a study, your whole body, melt it down, it's worth about $1.78 or something like that. Martin, you remember what that was? We were looking at that. It's less than, you're worth less than $2. How does that make you feel? That's without makeup. Your makeup makes the price go up. All right? Hair products makes it go up. Your hair products that you spray on your head are worth more than your whole body. Some of us. Your brush or comb is worth more than your body. So it's making you feel less than, doesn't it? That's not my goal. I want you to see, listen, as far as you're concerned, you personally are worth nothing. Except to God. Now God says you're worth, listen, he created you in his image. And we broke that relationship with God off. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they snapped that thing off and said, goodbye. We'd rather have it our way, not God's way. And God made a way for the Old Testament. They had to kill animals. They had to make those sacrifices. We'll learn more about that in Hebrews. And then God says, I'm going to make the ultimate way. And this is the way to come to the New Testament, through Jesus Christ. He sent his only begotten son. Listen, God, Jesus Christ, who was a spirit, was placed in Mary's womb. She carried him like a natural way. He had to eat what Mary ate, I guess, and whatever mothers do. He was delivered naturally, supernatural baby, delivered naturally, walked this earth, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for your sins and for my sins, that we might be bought back, because he loved us that much. His grace was extended that much, that you and I can be with him forever. He created hell for the devil and his angels. He created heaven, listen, for a place, a dwelling place for us. And there's a new heaven and a new earth coming, and we're so excited about what that's going to be. I want you to hear today, Christ loves you. He's not mad at you. Jesus is not merely a messenger. He is the wonderful creator, the sustainer, the Son of God, our Savior, and our King. I wish I had time to read all of those scriptures. It's loaded with when Philip comes back over and says, Lord, just show us the Father, and that's enough. And Jesus said to Philip, have I been with you so long that you haven't seen me? If you've seen me, who have you seen? You've seen the Father. I got that reference for you to look at later. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. They were confused about that, but he talked about he and the Father being one. All angels are ministering spirits sent out by God to serve, accompany, and protect those who will inherit salvation. That's me, by the way. That's you if you're saved today. God has never said to any angel, you are my son, today I have established you with kingly dignity. But to Jesus, he gave that honor. And God, the Father, even commanded the angels to worship his son. If you see in the Bible, in Revelation, when John falls down at the angel's feet, the angel's like, oh, whoa, get up. You can't worship me. Don't worship me. You got to worship the Lamb. Don't worship me. So if there's ever an encounter in the Bible and someone goes down to their knees to worship and the capital A, angel of the Lord, the New King James does, you know that's a Christophany that's happening in the Bible. That's God appearing to that man in that situation. But if they say, get up, that's just an angel. A messenger of God saying, I'm here to do God's business. You can't worship me. You got to worship him. But to angels, he said, worship Christ. To humans, he says, worship God. Remember the Magi when they brought their gift? They went to the place where he was. They hit their knees and they worshiped him. Even people that wasn't raised the way that saying the Messiah was coming knew to worship him. And finally, humans too are commanded to worship Jesus for one reason. What's the reason? He's worthy. He's worthy. That's why the Bible tells us to walk worthy of the calling that we have put on our life. It is a high calling. Each week you should grow in your scripture reading at home, because you won't get everything you need at church. But you should be challenged at church that God has a huge call on your life, the stuff that you can't do. And the answer is you can't do it. You can't do it. But Christ in you can. How can we spend the money as our church? We're not a very large church. I told you, just when I first got here, the church was in foreclosure, was it not, Bernard, Richard? The church was in foreclosure. The bank wanted this place, but they didn't want it, right? Nobody wanted to foreclose on it, because who wants to foreclose on a church? So from that day that I came, I didn't know that. No one shared that with me when I first got here. And that was a catchy, right? Oh, wow. But since then, God's blessed us every year to be in the black. Derek has to pull his hair out. He's getting closer. I'm just kidding. Trying to figure out what's God going to do. How do we pay for an additional amount of whatever, with $37,000, $39,000 for a mission trip? How do we pay for a Tennessee trip? How do we actually fix the sound system in here? It was $250,000 and we had no money. How do we start a school? How do we start a daycare? How do the ministries happen? The answer is, I can tell you, lots of prayer and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. And I'll be honest with you, and we even joked about being here for 15 years. I think it's 16 years, 2009, whatever that is. We still don't know what we're doing. Does that scare you? We're trying to drive. We're driving as best we can to stay between the lines, but Lord keeps sending things to us. Like, Lord, how do we deal with this? And he says, pray, seek my face, and guess what he'll do? He does it through us. How are we going to pay for a mission trip? You know who paid for it? You did. We did. He did, right? He through us did. Even if you spent $5 for a whatever tuk-tuk ride or whatever those things are, they stink. I've been over there. It's terrible. Makes me sick to my stomach to ride in one of those things. But it is what it is. They do go through some stuff. So pray for their well-being as we pray in just a minute. Pray for God, use me. If you can't go, pray. You can all pray, right? Can we? And you can give, even if it's a couple of dollars. And with it, my $2 won't make a difference. Well, $2 make a difference in the hands of God. It's his money. And even the top of your money says, in God we trust, right? Does it not? Let's pray together. Father God, we have found our place challenged by your word. Everything we think about angels, we sometimes if we're not careful, we'll put them above even talking to you, God. Forgive us when we sin, and because we were taught a certain way, we were discipled by somebody, whether indirectly or directly. We heard things and we kind of grabbed things. We had study Bibles or we had picture Bibles or we're brand new to the faith and we've never given our life to Jesus Christ. We just see angels tattooed on people's bodies. We see angels on the back of people that are opposed to God with wings. We see artificial intelligence creating these massive, crazy-looking things on our computers if we ask it. There's all kind of things instead of a biblical, angelic being who is there to serve you, God, who is there to be a ministering spirit to us, Lord, that have inherited eternal life through our relationship with Jesus Christ. You have an entire workforce. And Lord, some of them are out there working for us, and we don't even know it. But Lord, today we do. Your word said so. So, Lord, as you work towards making us more and more like Christ, open our minds and our hearts. Let the Holy Spirit open our minds and not be stuck on what we have necessarily hung our hat on for years because we heard so. Lord, let us look to your word so that we can know so. And your word is true, and we praise you for that. Thank you that you have given us the authoritative source for just about every question we have in life. It's there, answered in that book. You're God, you're holy, and Lord, help us to be holy as you're holy. I pray, Lord, if there's somebody who's never given their heart life to Jesus Christ, that they wouldn't care about who's looking. They would just come today and say, I want to do that. I want to give my heart and life to Jesus Christ. I want to know that I know that I know that I'm saved. Lord, then we know that knowledge replaces all the fear of life. We love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.